time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
And if you think that that nice guy in the blazer is on your side, well, you just don't see his beach house in Destin. That thing didn't pay for itself.
Pete Thamel.
When you have to predict who's going to get in a bowl game, always bet on corruption.
Yes.
Corruption will always win.
With SI's Pat Forty. Yeah,
it's the UPI National Championship that they would bestow before the bowl games were played. Yeah.
Here's Pat, Pete, and Dan.
Welcome to the pod. COVID's back. The bowl season is rocked. Failing. Teams are protocoling. Teams are scrambling. We have no
idea.
Here
we go again.
A&M is out of the Gator Bowl, and every 5-7 team that can get a group chain, text chain going is trying to figure out.
Yeah.
The Gator Bowl is texting people, you up late at night, booty calls.
There's some teams that already played bowls that are trying to get in, too.
Double bowling. Double bowling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play two.
Our friend that texts in all caps has to be one.
No. Brady Hoke, who endearingly always texts in all caps, is not.
Coastal.
Coastal Carolina and Northern Illinois are the early contenders. We're taping this Wednesday night at 6, so there will be certainly some corruption that allows Shad Khan to buy Illinois a spot in the bowl. Because when you have to predict who's going to get in a bowl game, always bet on corruption.
Yes.
Corruption will always win. Money and corruption lead
with
their nose.
He's an Illinois
alum.
It's his stadium, right? So, sure.
Yep. It's we got no idea what the hell's going on, and neither does anybody else. So welcome to the pod.
Exactly. We're all walking blindly in this together.
I think Coastal would just play every day.
There you go.
The mullets don't get tired.
They don't.
They're ready to go.
They're going.
Sandlot, baby.
They're going.
Yeah. I don't. I mean,
what
who
was
knows?
Grayson McCall's? I piss teal.
Yes.
Is that what he said?
I meant it when I said it. I piss teal. I mean, unbelievable.
The Coastal quarterback who announced he will be back. Apparently could be back sooner than not.
Yeah, could be back in a week.
Yeah. I mean, the bowl season has taken, it's always been farcical. They've now lost all of the like charms of like when they used to pretend it was this big thing. And now it's just total chaos. The idea that someone could play two bowl games in one year is pretty good. Extra bowl swag. I've got teams saying they're worried their game's going to get canceled. I talked to a guy today. He's like, you know, on our thing, we're on the hook for the tickets and the hotel rooms anyway. Even if the game gets canceled, I'm like, oh, that's poor lawyering by you. You got ski mask by the bowl committee.
Yep.
Why would you get into an agreement with the bowl committee and not read the fine print?
What is the force majeure? Is that the term we learned?
Yeah, well, remember the Nebraska-Akron contract that was like insurrection, act
invasion.
Of God. Yeah.
But they didn't have tornadoes.
They did not have tornadoes.
That's what got them. Yeah, anything can go down here. And if you think that that nice guy in the blazer is on your side, well, you just don't see his beach house in Destin. That thing didn't pay for itself by being nice to the teams. Oh, hell yeah. Your entire marching band that's paying $315 a night at the Holiday Inn, the Roadway Motel, even though you can can walk up right now and get a room for $84.99. Yeah, you're paying.
His collective golf clubs are worth more than my 401k.
I'm on the bowl guys at this point. I'm on their side. I mean, I saw this ad online. The guy was going to ship me a brand new BMW. Turns out it wasn't, you know, for only $8,000. Yeah, okay. If you're that dumb, you're going to get taken by these guys. You are going to get taken. They're not good people.
I wish the audience could see Dan's face, because when he gets a chance to talk about bowl cluster bombs, it does brighten his outlook.
It does. It does. I love it. I love it. Sun Bowl, who knows? Miami, maybe having an outbreak. I honestly think like a couple of these teams that really don't want to be there, like they're like getting together and like in a small room singing choir together and, you know, breathing on each other.
Well, it's not even that difficult. Like, no. They're just testing. Nobody's testing. So teams are majority vaccinated, so you don't have to test. And if you want to get out of it, you just start testing. Like, it's not hard.
Someone will have
it. If you don't want to play and you test the way this variant is spreading, all you have to do is test. If they tested all teams, like, we'd have no bull.
It's pretty much what happened to the NHL and the NBA.
Yeah.
Now they're not. And the NFL's like, yeah, we're not testing anymore. Unless we absolutely must. Obviously, we have the big dog, the college football playoff announced their COVID-19 postseason policies. This does not bode well. The Fiesta and Peach Bowls, I guess those are just the side games. We don't care about that. Playoff semifinals, Cotton and Orange. If one team is unavailable to play, the unavailable team shall forfeit the game and the opponent would advance the national championship game. Playoff semifinals. If both teams are unable to play in one semifinal, the semifinal would be declared a no contest, and the team winning the other semifinal would be declared college football playoff national champion. Just like that.
Yeah. There you go. Boom.
However, playoff semifinal, if three teams are unavailable to play, the semifinal game in which the two teams are unable to play would be declared a no contest. The other semifinal game, the team unable to play, shall forfeit the game and its opponent would be declared college football national champion. We're back to like 1948 where everyone, you don't even have to play the game.
No. Take the train to the Rose Bowl.
It's the UPI national championship that they would bestow before the bowl games were played. Yeah.
Cincinnati has a clear path here now.
I do.
I want the games, obviously. But there would be some cackling if it somehow turned out. Like, if it's all going to go to hell anyway, I don't know. Things aren't really trending well for us here. But if Cincinnati somehow is the national champion, oh, God. We also have, let's see, if a team's unavailability is determined after the playoff semifinals have been conducted, the national championship game in Indianapolis may be rescheduled to no later than Friday, January 14th. If one is able to play, the other is not. The game cannot be rescheduled or is rescheduled and cannot be played. Then the team unable to play shall forfeit the game and the other team should be declared CFP national champion. If both teams are unable to play on either an original or rescheduled date, then the game should be declared a no contest and the CFP national championship shall be vacated for this season. Could have a split champ.
There we go. We'd have an AP champ and a coach's champ. Oh, boy. That would be the throwback right there.
Why only January 14th?
Who knows?
That'd be my question. It's like, we got to pay an extra.
This is still college sports. They make it up as they go along.
Yeah. Why four days later?
That has all the... it might as well be like a fortune cookie. Yeah, like that's how much that
Lucas Oil like, might have like a cheerleader competition or battle of the bands.
We got to pay an extra 10 grand.
Yeah.
We got to pay an extra 10 grand on cancellation fee. We ain't paying that. So let's just have no champ.
Yeah.
We'll take the hotel money and run. I don't get the Jan 14th bit. Like, why not? Like, what? If you got the national championship on the line, these kids will be more than happy to wait an extra week or two. I mean, we put college football players through too much, all of that, but not for this.
Yeah, for the championship, they'll wait it out. Now, I also saw where, like, the Pete, I think you might have had it. I'm not sure where the Peach Bowl is talking about, like, we'll just push back Pittsburgh and Michigan State another week if need be. And that's one where those players might be like, we already have Kenneth Walker opting out and Kenny Pickett opting out. I'm not sure we're hanging around for another week for that. Playoff? Yes. Peach Bowl?
I mean, ultimately, these kids want to play, right? Like, the Rutgers players want to go play.
Sure, the Rutgers players do. Yeah. You
know, yeah, and but like, I don't know. If the Michigan State guys have had a historic season, like, they want to finish it off, and in that bowl means something. You know what I mean? It is the Peach Bowl. Although all these bowls have been so unbelievably, I think, devalued. Now, again, I watch them all. I love them all. But it's just, if the players and coaches are not taking them seriously, it's getting harder to take them seriously. Do you guys disagree with that?
No, I agree completely. And that's why, if I'm a Michigan State player and I'm planning on going into the draft or whatever, I mean, if I would like to have a week off before the start of the next semester, And you say, now we got to wait an extra week to play the Peach Bowl. I'm going to be like, do we really have to? Maybe I don't. You know,
I don't know. That'd be interesting. I mean, I think you got seniors who want to play one more. I don't know. That'd be up to certain teams. I just think for the championship, these guys will wait.
Yeah, for that absolutely for the playoff games they will for sure. Anything less than the playoff games, though, I'm not sure. We'll see.
At some point, you punt.
Hopefully,
right?
It doesn't happen.
You punt on it and just say, "Look, it didn't happen, and we tried."
Right.
I get all that. I'm just a little surprised that we would just sit there and say, "Sorry, we can't do it." Now, look, this thing was scribbled down on a napkin or something with the cream corn stain on it. Like they're making it up as I go. I'm not gonna kill. And they didn't have a plan. Nobody thought COVID was coming back with this level of. So I'm fairly forgiving on like, well, we're making it up as we go. But it just seems like January 14th, like, what is that? What is that date? Right. Because look, if Alabama and Georgia or any of the matchups are there and you're waiting on the championship game and you're like, well, we'll all clear by, we'll just all go into quarantine and we can play on the 22nd or the 18th or February 3rd. And it doesn't have to be, you know, it's kind of the problem with the playoff is that they take themselves so seriously. Like, these guys will play anywhere. Doesn't have to be this whole bit, although they did get rid of a lot of stuff. Bowl events, now attendance is now optional. You ain't going to see a whole lot of that. Teams don't have to travel 5 days before the game, which was always totally ridiculous. Now it's only two. News conferences are virtual. So what else? Access to the playing field is limited and different stuff like that. I just the 14th one, I think, could become an issue because if you can sit there and say, hey, why don't we just play 2 weeks? If I've got a shot at a national championship, I will do that. We have seen in sports athletes willing to do almost anything to find out to compete at that championship level. I mean, the NBA and the NHL went into bubbles, moved away from family. And I mean, think about how strict those protocols were for those two leagues. And I know those guys are getting paid, but still, it's about winning the state. They also are getting paid. They don't need to do it, right? Like LeBron James doesn't need the money. He isn't in the bubble because he needs the check. He's in the bubble because he wants to win. So, you know, Olympics pushed back, all the different things that people went through. That's my only thing with sticking out. I mean, we are staring down like nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. But here, like,
I hope this is just all funny, but it's.
Yeah. But no, I'm telling you, Indianapolis is a very busy city, even in the glum January months or weeks. And I'm looking
now.
You
can find somewhere to stage this game. If you're just going to do a game.
Yeah.
No fans. I mean, if it's Armageddon, right? Like, we're sitting there on January 7th and there's all these positive tests. They're like, we can't have a national championship, right? It's like pull the ripcord time. And you go, who cares whether it's in Indianapolis or you find any other. I don't care if you're in the Fargo Dome on a Tuesday night in early February. Play the game, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's my basic prediction on this. Anyone who wants to play in a bowl game will play in the bowl game. Anyone who is motivated to play in the bowl game will have a way and mechanism to play in their bowl game. The only people who are going to opt out of bowls are people who don't want to play. Texas A&M did not want to play in the Gator Bowl because they had a bunch of staff leave. They had a bunch of opt-outs. And they didn't want to lose to Wake Forest, which would be bad perception-wise. And they didn't want to lose their recruiting momentum right now. So it's, you know, we saw it last year, Tennessee, Missouri, the people who were spiraling and didn't really want to play just didn't play. And this is just an avenue to just kind of skip that step. And I have a hard time imagining contingencies because people aren't going to test for COVID. I mean, to the level that will knock them out of the game. If they're in control of it. My understanding is the teams in the playoff, and good on Michigan for going to get boosted, by the way, as a team. I thought that was a cool headline to see. And Alabama, Saban has said their numbers are really good. But the teams in the playoff, it's the reason why we didn't have any, or we had one game canceled because Berkeley's a little bit of a wacky place this year, postponed. Like, it's just people aren't testing, which is fine. That's where we are. That's how we've evolved, you know, with this virus. But it's almost like an easy button to get out of a situation. I have a hard time imagining testing to the level to knock out a team who wants to play in a game.
Yeah, but I mean, you could conceivably have an outbreak, right? I don't know. I kind of agree with you. I mean, look, A&M was down to 38 scholarship players, according to their AD. And they had just 13 on D. Now, their problems were COVID, but it was also people had opted out, hit the portal, or were injured, right? So it wasn't just COVID. And it's really what makes these bowl games now as much fun and as good of ratings as they're all getting. It's very hard to gamble because the team that you watched all year is not the team that shows up on the field. You used to have to do motivation. Now you really got to look at the roster.
Yeah, disaster to try to bet these games. I mean, good Lord. It's so bad that I'm winning our picks, okay? So that tells you.
I was going to make that joke, but I thought it was too mean. Yeah, so
no. What? Too mean? When does that happen?
Yeah. We tease Pat. I just, you know, Pat has feelings.
Are you okay, like, Pete? He's just not our pinata. Okay? Like, what's going on here? Too mean.
I usually don't mind running me over and then backing up back over me. So.
Literally invented a nickname for how bad of a picker he is.
That's right. Now all of a sudden you're sensitive. I don't. I'm thrown off.
It's the Christmas spirit.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't want to be I don't want to be the Grinch of this podcast. We'll let Dan be the Grinch.
I don't know. This is going to be wild. We don't. Yeah, we just don't know. I don't know. Yeah. We were going to pick our bowl extravaganza 3 today. We're going to wait till next week because we have absolutely no idea what teams are going to exactly exist.
We'd like to see if there are going to be games and who's going to be in them. Yeah.
Yes.
And college basketball, like I have not been on. I've little checked out the last 2 days doing other stuff, but I went on Twitter the other day. I scrolled through and it was just like a list of like, this game's canceled. This game's canceled. This game's canceled. Everyone's trying to scramble for games. It's just like, oh Jesus. Like, you know, because that's really tough. I mean, you just don't have numbers. You can lose. Didn't 40-year-old Joe Johnson just got re-signed by the NBA? Like, I mean, you know, old timers are coming back because there's no. So you're going to keep testing.
Yeah.
We talked about this on the NFL. Pat and I went on Charles Robinson's you pod to win the game NFL one. I'm like, you got to stop testing. It's like, may not be a popular sentiment or the most effective, whatever, by medical standards, but it's like, you know, Jerry Tarkanian, you say the reason we don't have a marijuana problem on the team is we don't ask.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, good way to not know. Yeah. I don't want to know.
That's what I think. Certainly as we barrel towards the NFL playoffs, they will not let the playoffs be compromised by testing. I am sure of that. And
Patrick Mahomes could be coughing.
He's
just a cold. Survival rate's high. NFL does not care. No. I don't know. I'm glad I'm not in charge of this stuff. I can just sit back and go, oh, man, let's survey this train wreck.
Yeah.
But the idea that the whole playoff could get canceled or the one team that doesn't get COVID. I mean, like literally just like Alabama must just put each guy in his own hotel room right now. They probably just took over a city.
I guarantee
all the hotel rooms.
If you walked into
they just took over Muscle Shoals. They just said we're going to go to Muscle Shoals.
Yeah, and we're going to take all the hotel rooms.
Going to look, Birmingham's got like 1,000 Marriotts. You just go in there and say, "We need the Marriott on 280. We need a one player in each room." They'll be like, "Yes, sir. We got it. No problem, sir. Yes, take
it's
over.
A fine Marriott.
It is a fine Marriott. Been there many, many times.
Yes." Yes.
No, but that Pete, you brought it up and you're right. I'm glad like Michigan is boosting, but I am shocked that teams are like
they
doing
should have
this
done it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Like Wake Forest was on that, right? When they said when they brought everybody back for bowl prep, they all got or most of them got boosted. I'm just shocked that people weren't immediately doing that when their players were eligible for it, you know, early December, late November, whenever it was.
I wonder if some of it is like you kind of just got to take a day off. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
no.
Yeah. And you have the season and then finals roll in right after that. Like you don't want to feel like crap for a day of final. I don't know. It's good to see it happening.
And, just means more. Just means more.
That's right.
Bear Bryant would align those guys up with shots every day. 8 a.m. You get a shot. What is it, coach? Shut up. Yeah.
Junction City inoculation line. Yeah.
Just, I don't know.
Shut up and stick your arm out.
Bill O'Brien and Doug Marrone both have tested positive for COVID. They are obviously assistant coaches on the loaded Alabama coaching staff. It's nice when you got Bill O'Brien and Doug Moore, two NFL coaches, just kind of kicking around.
Yeah, they're best friends. They live in like the same apartment complex, so that kind of makes sense.
Are they roommates?
Bunk beds.
They're not roommates, but I think they live in the same complex. Mm. Yeah, I think they have enough money to have their own.
It'd be funny if
like
they were
GAs. Yeah, no.
It sounds like their families
just didn't go to just didn't move to Tuscaloosa with them. They're living in an apartment.
Yeah, I mean, they were GAs together at Georgia Tech, so
they may have been roommates like then.
Yes, and they like their wives introduced them to each other. Like their wives were best friends. They were like roommates at BC. This is really going in the weeds. But
no,
whenever
I
would see them at
the these two. This is like this is what I want to. I need like a Wright Thompson True South on this. On the SEC network, right? Two middle-aged, busted-up NFL coaches trying to wash up the image down there in Tuscaloosa, living together in a little two-bedroom, one bath.
That's it. Bill O'Brien is chewing on his rib at Archibald's while Doug Marone comes in and says, did you go over the film or not?
Like, oh, man, we used to be
something. One guy's from the Bronx. The other guy was born at Dorchester, Mass., like in Boston.
Really true South. Yeah.
Less than 2 years ago, Bill O'Brien had like a 24-0 lead on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Sure did.
Now he's holding it down in a little apartment in Tuscaloosa. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's a hard podcast to do because whatever we say could be
detonated by the time Sully puts it together and gets it on the site. Yeah.
Yeah. By the time you hear this, Cincinnati might have won the title or we might have one of those. What if there's like I think they should have had a succession thing, like when the president gets assassinated, then the next guy, and the next guy. Like, is there a way Wake could still win this thing or something?
Sure.
The Duke's Mayo Bowl did a video testing their the dumpability of the Mayo dump that is going to go down.
How'd that go?
That is so gross. Like, oh,
I mean, that's the viscosity could make it a hard dump. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to really
viscosity. Has that word ever been used with mayonnaise?
I don't know.
Mac Brown said he's willing to do it. He if he gets a win, he'd be willing to have someone hit him in the face with a frying pan. That's what he said.
Good thing he doesn't coach in the TCU SMU game.
That's right. Because he would get
that big skillet. That's a good point. I mean, let's not go that far, Mac. We like you. We don't want that.
Don't go that far for the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Maybe that 2005 championship game, but not.
Sally said it would only sting, just sting a little bit. Sally said.
Pete, Sally and we've been having mayonnaise for a long time now, Sally and I.
I'll take the frying pan to the face for these kids. For these kids, these boys, these young men deserve it. They've worked so hard. They've worked so hard to get here.
Sally says it's a little fattening, but that's all right. You know, sometimes you need to stay warm here in these Carolina winters.
I've watched Mac eat chicken fried steak. He ain't afraid of fattening.
Oh boy.
Visual. We've really gone down some bizarre rabbit holes on this podcast.
What happens when your whole podcast plan gets blown up by COVID? Right. I don't know.
We did have a plan coming into this.
There literally was.
Yeah. Now this is like Army throwing the ball 50 times here. We're totally off the rails.
We will continue to podcast as we did through the original COVID scares because we're all separated.
That's right. That's right.
So what are you guys going to do for these games now? Are you just going to go in the day off?
I mean, that's a great question. I don't know. I think I'm going to wait for my superiors to tell me not to go to Miami for 5 days because I'd kind of like to go to Miami for 5 days. If they say not to, I will accede. But until then,
you're going to go for 5 days and do everything virtual. I skipped the Super Bowl. I covered the Super Bowl virtually last year. It's not great. Yeah. Not ideal.
No.
If I stayed home, I can go to the Fenway Bowl.
Yeah, there you go. Ooh, now we're talking.
Lay the groundwork for my retirement job.
That's it.
See if Kate can wire me up a nice green blazer. I'll just rock it in the press box to like plant the seeds of possibility.
All right. Well, let's say these games, these semis. Let's do a early semis look. Okay. Why not? We got nothing else to talk about.
No.
So, semifinal one. They call it the Cotton Bowl. It's the Cotton Bowl. It's not the Cotton Bowl and not even played in the Cotton Bowl, but played over by the Walmart, Arlington Walmart. Cincinnati versus Alabama, 3:30 on New Year's Eve. Great, a convenient time for everybody.
Absolutely.
Can we move them now if all the other bowls get canceled? Can we just put the damn thing on New Year's Day now?
That's the thing, you know? No, we can't, Dan. It's been decided. They're going to reshape New Year's Eve. New paradigm.
New Year's afternoon. I mean, if they spent left, if there was a competency, more time on competency, less time on grifting, this would probably work a lot better. But anyway, it's currently Bama's 13.5. That has stayed below the 2 touchdown. I thought that would get up to 3 scores, like 14.5 to 15. Has not. 80% of the bets and money are on Bama, though. What are your thoughts on this game now that that's settled at all? Is it anything changed from the last time we talked about it, which is when it first came out? Also, the weird thing
about
this. So
I'm going to go first.
Also, the weird thing about this sport is it was announced 2 weeks ago, and we still got 2 weeks to go. So there's that, too. But go ahead.
I have talked myself into Cincinnati being able to win this game. I'm not saying they're going to.
Not just cover, but win.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear it.
There's a path to victory here, is all I'm saying. And I have not yet quizzed
make
all the
sure coaches.
Make
sure you're recording this, Sully.
Yes. When they lose 42-3, Sully, we can play this on a loop.
What is that path?
It'd probably be closer than most of my bull picks already. Here, this is the path to victory thesis on how Cincinnati can win this game. Alabama is not as you're never as good as your best game and or as bad as your worst game, right? So Alabama is a very good team. If this was 2020 Alabama, they would win by, you know, they would beat Cincinnati just like they beat everyone else. I feel like with their secondary being banged up, and I feel like with Jameson Williams being the only really high-end receiver that they have because of the injury to John Mechie, there's a chance for Alabama's offense, which suddenly became explosive against Georgia, but it had been fits and starts, somewhat middling, bad O-line all year. Like, there's a chance for Cincinnati to hold them in the 20s. I think that's, like, where this starts. If Sauce Gardner and Kobe Bryant, they're two All-American corners, limit the passing game and they can stack the box a little bit. And, like, Alabama's O-line is pedestrian and their tailback is averages grits per Alabama tailbacks. Okay? If Cincinnati can clog up the middle with the outside being taken care of some and not give Bryce Young the chance to dance and move, I just think like their offense is not going to be as good as it was against Georgia. And so I feel like Cincinnati's defense, they have heavy backers. Physically, they're not going to get mauled by that Alabama offensive line. The Alabama offensive line didn't get good against Georgia. From the coaches I've talked to, Georgia really had a terrible defensive game plan and basically thought they didn't have to send any extra rushers. Now, Auburn sent the kitchen sink. And credit Derek Mason, who's one of the best game plans in college football this year. They were hitting them from all angles, pressuring them, moving. Georgia's game plan in the SEC title game was a game plan of arrogance. We are good enough where we can maul your mediocre offensive line and get to the quarterback without having to send extra rushers. And that gave Bryce Young the time to do what he did. He was magical, right? Absolutely magical. So I feel like Cincinnati can at least control slash slow Alabama down. And then offensively, so again, I'm gonna play Pat 40 in the podcast and argue with myself a little bit here. The argument against Cincinnati is a very simple one. Their offensive line is a mediocre AAC offensive line. All right. Will Anderson could well have one of his like 5 TFL days. I do like the fact that Cincinnati's tackles are pedestrian, but they do have 2 excellent tight ends who, and they're going to be, they could live in 12 personnel the whole game. And I feel like if they bunch it up and can hold together up front, Desmond Ridder is going to figure out a way to move the ball. Alec Pierce is one of the breakout stars of the season. I feel like they have enough punch. Jerome Ford, former Alabama tailback, is a very good player. There's a way they could win this game 21-20. Am I saying that's going to happen? No. And look, they could lose 41-3. I want to be very clear. That option's still on the table. But I think Cincinnati is going to be able to hang and swing with Alabama. And it's not a ridiculous notion to me because Auburn did such. Arkansas did as such. A&M obviously beat them. And there was one other.
LSU.
LSU. Yeah. Like, those are pretty pedestrian teams. So, again, there's Saban and the month prep and get it. But I just want to get it out there. I think Cincinnati can win this football game. So, tape and mock later.
I'm with you on one side of the ball. I mean, I do think Cincinnati's defense can keep this competitive. The one X factor there is just Bryce Young running around, whether it's scrambling or whether it's just buying time and making plays. The other side, I think Cincinnati's offense is going to be up against it. I really do. I just go to that offensive line, and you must block Will Anderson. And you can go 12 personnel. I don't know whether you're blocking Will Anderson anyway. That's a problem. And then, you know, can you just hold up well enough to run the ball and then well enough to keep them off of Desmond Ritter's back? And that's where I can see Alabama scoring in the 20s, but I can also see Cincinnati scoring in the teens. I can see Cincinnati covering the spread. I can't find a way for them to get enough points to win the game unless Alabama turns the ball over, which, you know, those things happen. But if everybody plays a relatively clean game, I don't think they can get there.
Yeah,
I'm going to pick Cincinnati to cover. Like, we're gonna break this down more and talk about it.
Alabama, it's scary because we just watched them against Auburn, which is not a great team, and they had 3 points with 59 minutes into the game, and then they look great against Georgia. They did this all season, so there's certainly that possibility. I just wonder about the depth. And in a motivated, fired up Alabama, all guns a-blazing, rested up, not overlooking.
Yeah, and with the ability, month to prepare, where we've seen Saban just destroy almost everyone in those semifinals. That's the thing.
And you just are running defensive linemen in and in and in and in and in by the end of this game. Can they keep it close? Is there a chance? Sure. I got a hard time picking Cincinnati to win this game. But excellent. Good discussion point by Pete. More thing. All right, the other one, Georgia.
Yeah, it'd be a lot less fun if it's like Todd Big.
I mean, we appreciate it because this would have been a boring discussion. Absolutely, like, yeah, Bama's going to kill him.
Yeah. Now, I'll leave with this point on Cincinnati. They're probably going to have 9 players draft.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, they've got players.
They could have more players drafted than Ohio State. No, I'm not saying their roster's better, but they've
got
like
an old
30
QB.
Seniors.
No, yes. Yeah.
Yes,
and they've got some key guys at the right position. Sauce is a good player, and that you got to have one, right? Yeah, I don't
know. If they win or are close, Desmond Ritter needs to have 100 yards rushing. That would be like the thing to watch. Like, running the quarterback is the great equalizer. They ran him some this year, but I think you have to almost run him a lot. I think that has to be one of the ways that you equalize this football game. Is Ritter's really got to do some stuff with his legs? Some of it freelanced, some of it scripted. But I just think they're...
Do they play boundary corner, field corner with Sauce and Bryant, or do they play left corner, right corner? Do you know?
So what happened with Sauce this year, I actually know way too much about this. This is a mistake because I'll get mocked for the depth of this answer. So I was there week 2 for that Indiana game, and I sat in the defensive staff room the whole week, and I learned a lot about this stuff. So they do play boundary corner, field corner, but the problem was everyone was just ran their worst. Like, Murray State has a LUT of a tight end who has like Sully's athleticism, right? And if his mom's listening to his podcast, I apologize. So everyone just run their worst corner out to Sauce to eliminate him from the field. That's one of the reasons why Kobe Bryant went to Thorpe, because he got so much action.
Right.
Because he would go opposite that. So they had to like rejigger their defense. So at least on third downs, that Sauce got in the action more, because he was getting a little frustrated, but also like they're not using their best weapon.
Right.
So there's a value in half the field getting cut off. So he would obviously go to the boundary, because statistically people throw the boundary more, which is something that people probably knew, but that Mike Tressel, God bless him, very patiently explained all this to me one day, and the usage of Sauce and the evolution of the usage of Sauce. So you would hope and think that Sauce gets matched up with Jameson Williams. That is like, both those guys are top 20 picks in the in the NFL draft, and that would be very exciting. But I just think, after Jameson Williams, look, who's great. That may have been the most athletic play of the college football season. How he ran away from the Georgia defense. Oof. on that crossing pattern. I mean, I stood up in my chair. Like, it was such a, like, it was just such a electric moment. It was unbelievable.
All right, so the other one, Georgia, Michigan, 7:30 on New Year's Eve. Georgia is still a 7.5-point favorite. The over-under is just 45.5. So they're not predicting a big score, and they still got Georgia by more than a touchdown. The bets at BetMGM right now, 80% of the bets and money are on Michigan. This is intriguing because, to me, Michigan is the team that enters this thing the steadiest body of work that they've had. I mean, it was close against Rutgers, right? Like, there was that, but like, other than that, this year, you know, it was a dogfight at Nebraska, but that happened a lot, and it was on the road at night. You know, pretty reasonable. Everything else, Michigan's just been really steady. Like, you know what you're getting from Michigan. Their one loss is that Michigan State, which, you know, we've said all along, no one's really sure how they lost the game. And Kenneth Walker III is one reason, 5 touchdowns. But other than that, like, Michigan is super steady. You kind of know what you're getting from them. They're going to run the ball. They're going to get pretty good quarterback play, protect the ball that way. You're going to get a great defensive line. You're going to get a secondary that doesn't get beat deep. And here you are. Maybe it doesn't the most exciting team of all time, but it's pretty steady. Georgia was really steady until they weren't. And so it's what Georgia team shows up, because they got exposed against Alabama, but can Michigan do that? But certainly Vegas is expecting Georgia to handle this fine. The fans, not so much. The bettors, not so much. Pat, what do you think of Georgia, Michigan at this point?
Fascinating game. Great game. I expect, you know, depending on where COVID takes us, I expect a big, like, fan advantage for Michigan, because I think the fans are so fired up for this game. I think they're coming in droves to South Florida. You're right that they have been super consistent. They've had a great season, period. The one game they lost, which you and I were there, they could have easily won if a play here or play there goes differently. But Georgia, as you said, Georgia was that team and then some until the Alabama, the annual, or whenever they play Alabama, when Georgia just always falls apart. I think this all comes down, Dan, to this is line of scrimmage game, particularly the Joe Moore Award winning number one offensive line in the country for Michigan against the, by acclamation, number one defensive line in the country, Georgia. So strength on strength right there. Michigan has to be able to control the line, whether it's running the ball or whether it's protecting Cade McNamara to throw and take some downfield shots. If Georgia blows up the line of scrimmage, long day for the Wolverines. So I don't know how that's going to play out, but I think that's the matchup that we all need to watch. I'm a little surprised the spread has stayed that high. I would not be surprised if this is a field goal game when it comes down to it. You know, I think Georgia is better, but not by a lot. I mean, the way Michigan has come on in this season and their ability to move the ball on anybody, basically. I mean, putting up 40 points, 40 points, 40 points to end the season, really impressive. But Georgia, we'll see. Again, how long do they stay with Stetson Bennett? JT Daniels, you know, right there with the quick hook. Are you playing mix and match back and forth? I think there's a decent chance Georgia can run the ball on Michigan. You know, I'm not saying they're going to run wild, but I think they can. I pointed this out in previous podcasts from the SEC championship game. If Alabama didn't tackle phenomenally well at the second and third levels, Georgia could have run for 200 yards, I think, again in that SEC championship game. But they did. But there were holes. There were big holes. That's a good offensive line for the Bulldogs. And if you've got rush ends that are coming up field full steam all the time in Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo, if you hit them with some draws and some delays, you can run underneath those guys. I think there's a chance to have a productive running game there. But again, fascinating game. Can't wait to see it. And I think it's going to be very close.
Real quick, JT Daniels is tested positive for COVID. If Stetson Bennett is struggling or if he gets banged up at all, you know, you're down to, who's the kid, Beck? I think that's Carson Beck. Is there?
Yeah, like, if third, it gets down to Carson Beck, it's over, okay?
I mean, yeah, like, I mean, the that's like Hutchinson's going to be like,
Carson Beck kicked Pat's dog today, clearly.
Carson Beck just gets, Hutchinson's going to be like one of those bulls at the rodeo, just like bucket, like, give me, I'm after this guy. Holy crap. out. He probably is going to be able to play. I mean,
do we know what day they tested positive? Where they are?
It's like a mood ring. Maybe.
I started getting symptoms the day before. 10 days would allow me to be able to
exactly.
I swear.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a problem. You know, and hopefully he's fine. But there is, you know, like, he may not get to practice. I mean, there's just these little variables. What if you don't get to practice? What if you actually have some symptoms?
Yeah.
These kids don't tend to get particularly sick, which is great, but you just don't know. So this is where we're at. Who knows? Just wanted to add that. But that could be, I mean, if JT Daniels is not available as the backup, there's even more pressure on Stetson Bennett. Oh, there's a lot of pressure on Stetson Bennett. All right, Pete.
You know, I agree with Pat. Fascinating game. I in analyzing Georgia, I just don't want to be too biased from what we saw in the last sample, right? Like that Alabama game to me is an anomaly, and it is not indicative of who Georgia is. Simply put, that was like a one-man transcendent virtuoso Bryce Young performance. And I just don't see Michigan having that type of maestro to orchestrate that performance. I mean, it was downfield shots that really won them that game, right? And it was improvisation and, you know, just that was one of the best individually quarterbacked games that I've ever covered in my career. And so, and look, they destroyed them. There's no other way to say it. They just absolutely mauled them. And in a lot of ways, just this is a Georgia team. They could have 17 guys drafted. It's strength on strength. And I really feel like Georgia's strength is better than Michigan's strength. Now, I've been wrong about Michigan all year, so I want to be really clear about this. Like, eventually, I feel like I'm due to be right. And again, I picked them some late in the year when they did establish this clear identity. And, I mean, they are basically 2010 Stanford. And they are just going to line up and run you over, except they don't have Andrew Luck. They have Cade McNamara, who is perfectly fine. Luck might not have been there in 10, but this is like the Toby Gerhart era Stanford teams with when Harbaugh was in charge. I don't think Georgia's going to win this game 42-0, but I think Georgia's strength is going to eventually be able to impose the will on Michigan's strength. And it's an interesting game because it's almost like which quarterback messes up less is going to really lead to victory. Like, we're already certain that no team is going to be, like, quarterback-driven to victory. And I just think 1-40, Georgia has more talent, and that's going to shine. If Georgia has any weakness, they've shown some vulnerabilities in the back end, and I just think Michigan has no chance to exploit that. Like, they don't have anyone in the neighborhood of Jameson Williams or Mechie at the receiver position. They have some nice young receivers. It's a good little core. They've overachieved this year. But I just don't see that happening.
I remain skeptical of Stetson Bennett and whether he is the weak link and if Michigan can exploit that. And we will see. I don't know. You can win a national championship without a great quarterback, but you'd rather not. And I just don't know. You know, I don't like picking on the college players, but this is where we're at when you get to this level. So that's going to be my big storyline heading into some different stuff. All right,
so you go 3-and-out in your Georgia, your first four possessions. Do you put in JT Daniels if he's, you know,
I mean,
COVID
that's,
clear?
I think you absolutely give him a possession early if that's the case. I think they haven't played him
in months. I mean, like they didn't.
That doesn't matter.
They barely used him. I know, but like, remember Pat? Remember we were and Harbaugh got criticized for this for using JJ McCarthy, the freshman. Their freshman five-star quarterback, and he had a key fumble in a play against Michigan State, and it could have been the play. And, you know, there were all these plays at Michigan State. If one play doesn't go, Michigan wins the game. But all year, he used McCarthy, and you use two quarterbacks. So your both quarterbacks are A, ready, and B, they're not transferring, presumably.
Right.
Like, I just think that's part of the game now. It's not just, can I win this week? It's like, I can't. Risk. I have two. I can't risk losing one of these guys. They both have a we'll see. Maybe they hit the portal. I have no idea. But why didn't you use there were so many games where they could have brought Daniel. Like, does he just not think Daniels is any good? God, I don't get it. I don't get what Georgia did at QB this year.
Well, I mean, I don't either, other than the fact that, like, Bennett played well, so you roll with Bennett, and then all of a sudden it's too late, basically, against... But, I mean, Stetson Bennett had a very, very good season until the Alabama game, and then he was not very good there. And, you know, the one problem with the modern setup in college football is nobody tells you anything, so we don't know whether JT Daniels was healthy. We don't know how he practiced. You know, nobody sees that. Nobody answers any questions about health. So we just don't know for sure where JT Daniels was in terms of his ability to play.
I guess he played a little against Mizzou.
Yeah, a little bit.
November 6th.
Georgia Tech or something, or not?
No, Charleston Southern.
Yeah.
And then he played early on Clemson and South Carolina, and Vanderbilt, but then he was hurt. I don't know.
One of the strangest careers of any quarterback.
Extremely strange. Really
it's
weird.
It's just bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, it's just been one giant enigma.
Oh, maybe he's not any good. I don't know, but just, I mean, it's, this is it. We'll see. It's all in on this. All right. I got a question about this. Look, you know, everyone's the holidays. Everyone's looking for extra money. You might want to pick up a side job. I've got a side job that came up for us.
Oh, for us, for the pod.
Possibly.
Okay.
It's called a ham sniffer. These guys in Jabugo, Spain. This is per the Wall Street Journal. This is like legit. The company is called Cinco Jotas. It is they smoke chorizo, different hams of it sounds absolutely phenomenal, and then cure the ham in a cellar, a climate controlled cellar. And so they have six people whose job is to come in to the room where all the hams are curating. Sorry, I don't know that much about the ham industry.
You need to study surprised. Up on the ham industry, will you?
I don't really like ham that much. But anyway, the ham, you poke the ham four spots, the hock next to the hip bone, twice around the joint of the hip and the femur, if you're ever wondering. Don't say we don't teach you stuff on this. And then you smell to see if the scent comes out, and then the ham is ready. Okay, so that's the job. You sniff the ham. It's paid handsomely if you're good at it. And this guy, Manuel Vega Dominguez, 53, he's the Michael Jordan of ham sniffers, apparently.
Who would be the best ham sniffer of the four of us?
Well, that was going to be my question. But hold on, let me get to it now, because this guy needs help. In February, like the low season, he'll sniff 200 hams a day. But now, because everyone's trying to get the ham, and I guess it's become a big thing in the Chinese holidays, too, in November, ham has taken over as the preferred thing. So there's a huge market. He's handling 800 hams a day, and you have to sniff four times on each ham. So 3,200 sniffs.
Of ham.
That's a lot of sniffs.
Okay, that's a lot of sniffs. If you want to know how serious this is, Manuel Vega Dominguez said he is strained. He said he is, quote, wait, it gets better. At the limit of human possibility.
He's
starting to have to take, he's sniffing so much, he's taking 10-minute breaks every 2 hours. And if demand increases, I will find a way to sniff 801 hams. Perhaps 802 is possible.
What's he do to keep his nostrils clear?
I mean, those are important nostrils. Very important.
Yeah.
Man, can you imagine if you caught COVID?
You could have efficient sniffs.
Oh, my. If you catch COVID, you're unemployed Floyd,
He's taking breaks. Yeah, COVID wouldn't be good. When a normal person smells a bad smell, it is just bad. For me, I know exactly how bad it is. actually, this is another woman, Ms. Sanchez Blanco, I guess. I don't know. It can take up to an hour to do the sniffers, but he gets it done in 10 minutes. If you doubt yourself, you cannot do this work.
You must have self-confidence to be a ham sniffer.
He said, tapping his chest to indicate gut decision. If you doubt one, you have to doubt all of them. Okay. So he needs help. This could be lucrative. I'm guessing it is. So as Pete asked, who on this podcast would be the best ham sniffer?
I mean, duh, it's me. I mean, yeah. First of all, look at the nose, right? I mean, I've got.
Yeah, that's hard to fight the beak.
I've got the.
This is not an elaborate plot to make fun of the size of your nose. No, I really wasn't.
It's fine. It's only been happening since I was 9, so these are old jokes. I've got the natural gift, and then I also am not only a big fan of ham, but when we were in Tokyo and I was eating every dinner at 11 p.m. from the 7-Eleven next door, the thing I ate every night was jamon ibérico, the Spanish Iberian Peninsula cured ham slices. So I know what I'm talking about. I ate like 5,000 of those damn ham slices. Jamon ibérico, going to give you a little background here, fed by pigs, fed by acorns. That like this is, these hams cost like $1,400. Not the ones at 7-Eleven in Tokyo, but like these are the most expensive hams in the world. The best ham in the world is this acorn-fed pigs from Spain and Portugal. So...
What? You got something against an American ham?
Yeah, it's not as good as the Spanish.
And what kind of
Belgian beer are you? Is better than Bush Light? Iberian ham is better than American ham. I'm sorry.
Fighting word.
Wow.
This just took some unexpected turns.
You didn't have to bad
ham,
have
to ham tastes.
I'm gonna stand up to the American hog farmer. Okay. Our ham is just as good as anybody else's. But I ain't.
We're gonna lose all our Iowa listeners.
They don't have Southern salt cured ham over there in Spain. That's all I gotta say.
We'll see. I don't know, next thing, man.
You're gonna rip punting too, and we're gonna have no listeners in Iowa.
All right, I got more. I can't argue with that. Pat probably is the best ham sniffer.
Although, I was going to vote for Sully, but Pat gave Sully, a good convincing
argument. Sully would be more of like the fast food taster. Like you cannot sneak a chicken sandwich by them. He'll know exactly whether it's KFC, Popeyes. Mm-hmm. You
Sully
blind
can be
taste
the chicken
test.
Sandwich arbiter.
Yeah.
I'll take the ham.
Yeah. All right, we also have this.
Chicken
this
wars
guy.
Have quieted down, by the way.
They have. They've sort of settled in.
Taco Bell is bringing fried chicken, not a chicken sandwich, but fried chicken to their 24-hour menus. So that's the recent update there.
Huh. Stoner's Delight.
Taco Bell for fried
1
chicken.
1 a.m.
Okay.
Fried chicken's on the menu.
All right. More to the party. More to the party. We also have this guy, McRoberts Williams. That's his name. Seems like his name should be William McRoberts, but his name is McRoberts Williams, 44. He's in Delaware. He is accused of holding up a Delaware Wells Fargo bank. He walked in, slipped a note to the teller demanding cash at 11:20 a.m. on a Saturday in Wilmington. The bank teller complied, gave the suspect an undisclosed amount of cash per the police in a statement. Suspect fed the bank on foot. The problem was... Oh yeah, he was only given, I think it was $1,500. So the bank robbing's not really good. But the problem was, once outside the bank, he went to the ATM on the side of the building and deposited the money into his account.
Criminal mastermind, clearly.
So let's people's court this. Should we just put him away forever because he's too stupid to walk amongst us? Or do you have sympathy that the poor guy was just probably trying to make sure his bills got paid?
Well,
wrong podcast justice, for sympathy.
Justice 40. Ham sniffer, what do you think?
Lock him up. I mean, that's stupid. I'm all for, like, yes, when I get checks, I deposit them as quickly as I can because I figure I'm going to lose them or, you know, misplace your money.
Do you still go
whatever.
To the bank to deposit checks?
Went to the bank today. Absolutely.
You can do that on your phone, you know.
Thank you. I was not aware. Yeah, of course I knew.
He only had.
He only had
$150. He only had $150. That's how much he robbed the bank for.
That's it. They'll definitely lock him up. He's criminally stupid.
What kind of crap ass bank is this?
Crap ass bank robber for a crap ass bank.
Yeah. low ambition,
yeah.
low plan, low execution.
I mean, if it's one, if it's $150, you don't need to deposit it. That you put in your pocket.
Yeah, I thought it was like a cumbersome amount.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's, did he get it in once?
I don't know.
Bag of quarters.
Quarters.
Yeah. Yeah. They put them in.
After he was apprehended, McRoberts Williams told the police that he had traveled to Delaware by, quote, riding on the exterior of a cargo train.
Okay.
It's kind of the Wells Fargo thing, though, right? Weren't that they have like
sure.
that?
Sure. They were the stagecoach like back schooner. In the day, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Stagecoach. Yeah. And quote, his mind is currently being controlled by a third party via an implant located somewhere in his body.
Oh, boy.
That's so, yeah, yeah. So, all right. Sad story. Sorry to make fun of this guy. All right. I'm feeling good about myself. Good decisions.
It's Christmas. Say something nice.
Let him out. 150.
Yeah.
He's got a $6,000 bond for stealing $150.
That's a bad ROI right there.
Yeah, not very good. Not very good. Yeah. Happy holidays. Happy holidays. Hopefully we have some games. Hopefully we have all the games. If the games don't get played, they find two other teams to play. I don't know. Not really all that. I've been more confident in life.
I did like it at the end of Bowl Extravaganza 1, where you which bowl was it you just declared you did not care?
I did not care.
East and Carolina, now, BC.
East Carolina,
but
BC.
I do care. I do care. I've learned to care.
Okay.
And I want good. That game played. And I want all the games played. You know, I was getting cocky. That's the thing.
That's it. See, then they start taking it away, and you realize it's all fragile.
Absolutely. All right. Hope everyone has a good weekend. We'll be back next week. With who knows the latest is, and Bowl Extravaganza 3. We will do the other January 1st games and other straggler bowls, and more on the semifinals. Hope everyone has a good weekend. Talk to you
happy later. Happy holiday, everybody.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate you.